This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We have some new pages this morning. Can you come up and, well, kind of new, come up and introduce yourselves?
Good morning. I'm Autumn Weisler. I'm from Gettysburg, and my future plans are to attend Northern State University.
Good morning. My name is Grace Weinheimer, and I am from around Pierre, and I plan to attend SDSU for probably ag business.
Great. Thank you. Welcome to all of our internet listeners, and remind everyone that they need to sign in if you're going to testify today. And with that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senator Kermack.
Here.
Hewing.
Here.
Killer. Excused. Maher.
Here.
Nelson. Excused. Youngberg. Excused. Langer.
We have a quorum. I think we have minutes from the last meeting.
Move for approval.
Motion by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Kamak for approval of the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. The first item on our docket this morning is Senate Bill 212, revised certain provisions regarding the Bureau of Information and Technical Communications, Telecommunications Assistance to Schools. I will entertain proponent testimony. Good morning, Senator Heinert.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Troy Heinert, District 26 from Mission. So 212 came about when the new Secretary of Ed was, before his appointment, we had invited him down to St. Francis Indian School and to take a tour and learn about the relationship between Department of Ed and tribal schools. And there is a lot closer relationship than I think what most people think about as it pertains to tribal schools and the Department of Ed. Well, while we were visiting with our tech coordinator at St. Francis, it was pointed out that tribal schools pay a different rate for their data than our public schools. We're not part of the DDN network, of that state system, and then they have to contract out for their internet service, and it's at a much, much higher rate. Now, tribal schools are eligible for the E-rate reimbursement, but even that, if they get 90% of that back, they're paying such a higher rate. If they were able to be part of the state network or at least get the benefits that public schools receive, it would cheapen that by quite a bit. In some cases, we're talking $20,000, $30,000 that come out of a tribal school's general fund, tribal or BIE, I'm sorry. So I visited with Department of Ed, and in all honesty, we do need to amend this, and I don't have the amendment right now. I just couldn't get it printed in time. But what the amendment would do is create, if you look at the bill, if we scratch the language we're adding and just put in a number 7, and it would say providing where deemed feasible, which means do we have the trunk line going to these schools? Some of them will, some of them won't. So this is an added cost to the state. This would be only where these schools have the availability and at their own cost. So tribal schools would have to put the money up front to get the network in and then purchase that data at the end. I apologize. If we could pass this through committee, I'll have the amendment. I'll pitch it on the floor to say just that. Department of Ed, in all fairness, they've been working with me to try to, find a remedy to this situation. I think it's a matter of fairness. And, if we're going to do it for our public schools, our tribal and BIE schools are just as important, and hopefully we can work through this process. They've been upfront and honest. They're not hindering us in any way. We're just trying to find a solution. So with that, I will be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Senate Bill 212. Seeing none, is there any opponents? Seeing none, I will waive rebuttal and open it up to committee questions. I have a question, Senator Heiner.
Sure.
So do you have any idea what dollar amount we're talking here?
Dollar amount?
So you said that the tribal school was paying a much higher rate. Do you know what that rate is comparatively?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, so St. Francis pays about $130,000 a year for their data. They get about 90% of that back. If they were able to be part of this or negotiate that same rate, they would pay about half of that and still get that 90% reimbursement back. So, you know, they're paying out of pocket about $24,000 right now. They would be getting back, if they were able to do this, they would pay about $7,000 out of pocket.
So did the Department of Ed explain to you why this hasn't been done in the past or how this has been missed?
Madam Chair, part of it is, I think, just oversight. And those trunk lines going to those schools, you know, some of those schools are in fairly rural areas, and even some of our state schools don't offer these networks just because they don't have the trunk lines in. I know in St. Francis's case, you know, there is a trunk line that is extremely close to where St. Francis is located. So, you know, I think there is a possibility that we could be part of this network.
Further questions of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Kamak.
So, Senator Heiner, it sounds like there'll be a minimal change of revenue to the state, but yet quite a benefit to the schools that are potentially will benefit from this. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes, that's absolutely correct. It would level that out, and all schools would be paying for that same data.
Any other questions? All right, I will close that and open it up to discussion and or action. Senator Kamak.
Madam Chair, I move do pass.
Second.
Senator Killer.
I have a do pass motion by Senator Kamak, a second by Senator Killer. Discussion on that motion.
It sounds like this is an issue that should have been addressed a while ago. I think it sounds very common sense, and I have no reason to not think that the senator will follow through with his amendment, so I look forward to voting for it on the floor.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion is due pass. Ask Secretary to call the roll. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson, excused. Youngberg, excused. Langer.
Aye.
5-2, excused.
Senate Bill 212 will go to the floor with a due pass motion. Thank you, Senator Heiner. All right, the next item on our agenda is Senate Bill 204, create and designate Peter Norbeck Day as a working holiday. I will entertain proponent testimony. Good morning, Senator Bolin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Local Government Committee. I'm going to bring to you today Senate Bill 204, a bill that would establish August 27th, Peter Norbeck's birthday, as a working state holiday. This would be, to the best of my knowledge, the second of these type of days designated in the state. I believe we also have Joe Foss Day, which is also a working holiday for the state. I don't want to go into a long description of the life of Peter Norbeck. Just very briefly, and I know there are other proponents here for the bill as well. He was born in 1870 in Clay County, and he died in 1936. He served three terms in the state legislature, in the state Senate. He served 2 years as a lieutenant governor, served 4 years as governor. In 1920, he was elected U.S. Senator, and he stayed in that capacity until he died in office as a United States Senator in 1936. Very significant person as far as South Dakota history is concerned. Many people credit him with being the political patron of Mount Rushmore, because he worked diligently behind the scenes with both President Coolidge and Hoover for funding during a very difficult economic time in American history to secure the necessary funds for the construction of Mount Rushmore, to help, you know, provide for Borglum and his workers there. I'd be happy to stay here and answer any questions about his life and the necessity for this. I'm going to have – there's other people here to testify in favor of the bill, so I'm going to give them the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning, Mr. Van Huysen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Tony Van Huysen with the Governor's Office, asking for your favorable support of this bill. Perhaps not the most consequential bill you'll vote on this session, but I think it's important that we learn from and recognize our history and the people who came before us. I serve as a member of the Board of Directors of the Trail of Governors, which, as I suppose you all know, is erecting the statues of every former governor here in Pierre. There's already a statue completed of Peter Norbeck, which is downtown at the corner of Sioux and Dakota. And I think the idea of a working holiday is another way to remind South Dakotans about the legacy that Peter Norbeck had in our state. And it's an appropriate time to do it. Last year was the 100th anniversary of his election as governor. 2 years from now will be the 150th anniversary of his birth. And so we have some significant anniversaries involving him. But as Senator Boland said, he spent much of his career in public life. Prior to that, he was the largest driller of artesian wells in a 5-state region. His company drilled 12,000 artesian wells, including the well that feeds Capitol Lake and the natural gas for the Fleming Fountain. Peter Norbeck's company drilled that well. One historical writer said that the middle third of the state was settled 20 years earlier because of Peter Norbeck's company. He pioneered a way to drill wells for 3/4 less than other people were doing. In his public career, he, as a state senator, carried the legislation to create Custer State Forest. As governor, he made that Custer State Park, made himself the chairman of the board, personally laid out Iron Mountain Road, oversaw much of the construction. He was one of the people who brought the Chinese ringneck pheasant to the state, and as governor held the first hunting season for the pheasant, which is 100 years ago now. He sponsored the legislation to create Badlands National Monument as a U.S. Senator. He sponsored the legislation to create Grand Tetons National Park in Wyoming. And so I guess I would just say, imagine a South Dakota without Mount Rushmore, the Badlands, Custer State Park, or pheasant hunting. And I think you can see why Peter Norbeck is a significant figure in our state. And so I'll stand by for questions. Or I have the book on Peter Norbeck. I can just give you that rather than answering your questions. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Wanda Goodman. I'm the Deputy Secretary at the Department of Tourism. As Mr. Van Huysen laid out, we have several places in this state that we know and love that are here, you know, because of Peter Norbeck's vision, because of his foresight, and because of his hard work. His foresight and vision really laid the foundation for tourism in South Dakota, which is an industry that now attracts nearly 14 million visitors annually from around the globe, both domestically and internationally. It employs nearly 54,000 South Dakotans, and in 2017 contributed $2.6 billion to our state's GDP. It's difficult to say where tourism would be without the dreams and hard work of Senator Norbeck, but we do believe in the department that a day to honor his legacy and this legendary figure in our state's history is truly appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing none, I will waive rebuttal and open up to committee questions. Senator Kamak.
I have a question for Mr. Van Huysen.
Madam Chair, could you give us an idea of the of any costs that would be incurred by the state of South Dakota by designating this holiday?
Madam Chair, so far as I know, there would be none. You know, when the annual revision of the code comes out, it would be included, but I don't think that would add any additional cost.
Okay.
It could create some opportunity in Custer State Park, for example, to have more promotion surrounding that holiday, but that wouldn't be a required cost, so I don't think there's any cost, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you. Seeing none, I would open up for committee action. Senator Kamak.
Madam Chair, I move due pass.
Second.
I have a due pass motion by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Ewing. Discussions on that motion?
I think that Peter Norbeck certainly is a significant figure in the history of the state of South Dakota, and I think it's recognition that's well-deserved.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, the motion is due pass. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson excused. Youngberg excused. Langer.
Aye.
5-2. Excused.
This bill will go out onto the floor with a due pass motion. Senator Kamak.
Madam Chair, I move consent.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for consent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. This will be placed on our consent calendar. All right. Moving on, the last item on our agenda is Senate Bill 197, revised certain provisions on the protection of historic properties. Good morning, Senator Killer.
Good morning. And members of the committee, Madam Chair, would it be possible to defer this bill until Wednesday? Because there's some language that we need to work out with some of the, on the last committee hearing, I think there was a mayor from, where was he from? There's a mayor that he expressed some concerns, but I think it could be worked out in terms of the timeline of the bill and the intention of what it's going to do. And then I would just ask the committee to if that's possible.
Okay. Is there anybody from out of town here to testify on Senate Bill 197 that would like to speak at this time that cannot be here on Wednesday? Sure. Come forward and you can testify. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Bryce Inouye. I'm a tribal council representative for the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe and vice chair of our Wolakota committee. And I think it's really important nowadays across this whole planet that there's a lot of discoveries made. And there's a lot of things being revealed that are becoming visible on the earth. And a lot of them have a message. I'll give you one example. Like the Hopis have a stone tablet. And they're not the only one. There's another tablet that's not in this country, but it's supposed to hook up and connect with what the Hopis tablet has, stone tablet. And there's things coming up in Antarctica. And there's a lot of things coming up now that it seems like this planet is going through a polarity reversal, you know, in the magnetics. You see geese flying north. I just seen that the other week. And I wonder what, you know, they're flying towards maybe magnetic north, not true north. So there's things happening here, and there's things being revealed that have a real strong message for those people that live in those areas, like us. Our people, our history goes back thousands of years, and there were some deputies that come up that went all the way up to Canada. And our tipos were really pressed to say, do we want to bring this out? or, you know, is it going to go get vandalized and destroyed? And some of them have been vandalized and destroyed. But the important thing is that not only in South Dakota, the Black Hills, all around these areas, these treaty territories, there are markings, there are spots, there's places that are very significant now, today, because of what's going on. And it's more related to prophecy, more related to things that are coming that is going to challenge mankind. And if we don't read these messages and take heed to these warnings, it's like we're not going to be prepared. So it's not just stone features in the ground or markings or pictographs or these things that there's a deep meaning here that is connecting above to here. And there's things, you know, that fell out of the sky that we have technology from today, you know. And but this importance of this now is that I believe the disciples and some of our spiritual leaders have been pressed to bring this out, these meanings. That, like I mentioned, when those buffalo skulls were discovered from the erosion, the Corps of Engineers come, and at the same time, all the way up to Canada, there was these buffalo effigies that were revealing themselves. And we were told that we need to read the message, we need to understand it, and if we don't, then it's going to go away. So how would you interpret that? And again, it kind of connects to prophecy. So it's not just here, South Dakota, North Dakota, and treaty territory. It's across this planet. They're finding these stones, and they're finding these tablets. And so I went and visited the Hopi elder. He was a stone tablet keeper. And on that tablet, there was 9 prophecies. And right now, the 9th one is they got a female astronomer. They're tracking something coming. And he told me, he's 80 years old, and he told me that I interviewed him. I got him on tape, recorded. And he was saying, there's no more secrets. You know, you got to bring all this information out. Because of the signs and because of the message that are being revealed from these sacred sites. And it's very, very important and critical and that we look at it and understand those things. Because some people may not even understand, you know, they might be standing right by it, but don't understand what that is, what that message is. And some people know what that message is. How do we share that message? And it is very important that we look at bridging the gap between state government and tribal government, federal government. Because, you know, we all have allies in each government. And we all represent the people that elected us. And it's kind of a difficult message to bring out, even to our tribal government. But it has to come out, you know. This message has to come out. And some of these places are very critical. It's kind of like if you don't understand this area or this site or what these things are, then you have to understand it. You can't ignore it. You can't just get a bulldozer and bulldoze it over and plan over it. At least try to understand and communicate. You know, and some people are doing that. Some people are reaching out. And there's people from all over this planet, Germany and England, that come to the reservations, and they even here in the United States, and they want to partake in some of our ceremonies. And the Mayan were here about 6 years ago, the fire keeper. And when he starts the fire, it starts all the Mayans ceremonies, and they open some up to the public in 2012, where they're willing to share because of that misinformation that went out on the Mayan calendar. They were trying to correct that. And same with the Hopi. He was the fire keeper, fire clan. So it's kind of a connection here in the Western Hemisphere. And I believe even in Europe and all, like I'm saying, all over the planet, seems like every race has this, and they're going back to it. So the protection that we've always been asking for, and now that message, to me, the message has to come out, because it seems like our tipples and the people that are right there on the ground and they want these areas protected, they had a hard time with trying to bring that out, you know, because one thing, when they bring that out, GPS that gets on the computer, and then we've had looting, we've had even burial sites, and like Geronimo's skull being at the tomb, and at Yale, you know. So the Apache family wanted his skull back. So there's a lot of things connected when we talk, and there's a lot of knowledge too. There's a lot of understanding and a lot of, I said bridge the gap, but it's kind of like strengthening our spiritual being, because what this message is, it does involve our spiritual being, what's being revealed from this Mother Earth of ours.
Can I have you wrap up in case there are other proponents that want to talk?
Thank you. So support Bill 197.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Are there further proponents or further people in the room, I'm sorry, that came from out of town? All right, seeing none, we will defer that bill until Wednesday. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Killer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.